Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Dynamo Abroad podcast. I'm your host, Komar, which is like my debut in this role. So glad to be here. And joining me is Alex Lyshik from across the pond, the great state of New Jersey. How are you doing, Alex?
I am doing fantastic. The weather is pretty crap right now. It's dark. It's rainy. But I'm good. It's above freezing temperatures. Dynamo are winning games. So the vibes are high right now in the Lyshik household. The vibes are very high right now.
I'm glad to hear it, especially after your Zabava last weekend, right?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely immaculate time. And of course, also vibes are high because of the Kotwica Kołobrzeg stadium scandal, which just absolutely warms my heart for the holiday season.
Yeah,
Best present ever.
We need to do a special about those things one day, I think. Yeah, so anyway, back to Dynamo, because we're here to talk about everything and anything Dynamo Kyiv related. So last time we recorded, I think I wasn't here, but I think it was before Kryvbass game. So since that, we recorded two wins, both 2-0. And it's 100% record under our new interim manager, Oleksandr Shevkovsky. So I think, yeah, as you mentioned, the vibes are pretty good. Well, the weather in Poland is not. It's like snowing and freezing and it's like minus temperature Celsius. But, well, yes. What was the first one? I think, yeah, we won 2-0
against
Kryvbass. Yeah, mm-hmm. And I believe none of your predictions were right.
That is true. I think we all predicted either a loss, and I think someone predicted a 2-1 Dynamo win on the day.
Yeah, so this is the closest, I think. So yeah, we both watched this game, and mm-hmm. actually, I after the game, I listened to some commentaries. So yeah, maybe I'll let you start. What's your
I mean, I think this was a game where we would not have been surprised if Dynamo would have lost, considering Kyrgyzstan were coming in on good form. Vernedub is, you know, if there's one thing Yuri Vernedub knows, he knows how to take points away from Dynamo and Shakhtar. But Dynamo won 2-0, two goals. I believe Vanat scored one, I think. Hold on, let me pull that up real quick. Yeah, Vanat and Karavai with the goals. I will say, though, Dynamo did get a little bit fortunate with Bez Karavajni's red card 12 minutes in. I believe he was sent off for denying a goal scoring opportunity. Didn't think it
was
really.
It was a bit sketchy, right? Because there were like two defenders in this situation.
I didn't love that red card, but I'm not going to complain because Zabarni got a red card against Shakhtar last year in the Klasichna for a similar play for denial of a goal scoring opportunity, which in my opinion that was the incorrect decision. So listen, we get one against us, we get one for us, but overall it felt like kind of a very general kind of UPL performance. I thought Dynamo dominated most of the ball. I thought, although Kryvbass were down to 10 men, I thought Dynamo generally do, and we'll get more onto this later, I thought Dynamo do look a little bit better defensively under Shevkovsky. I don't think that's that controversial of opinion. And I mean, with players like Diachuk and Sirotar, not the easiest thing in the world to do. But listen, it's a good performance against a top UPL team. First game for Shevkovsky. From my end, at least, there are very few complaints you can have.
Yeah, I think one thing we need to mention is, how the hell Shevkovsky did two clean sheets with this defense. I mean, this is like a real achievement. I have to give him that. And what I can say also is Shevkovsky really just is playing games after the thorough analysis of the opposition. So, for example, you won't play possession based hurrah football against Kryvbass because they know how to defend against that. So you mm-hmm. just find the weak spots in their game and use them to win, right? You don't really have to play a nice, play pretty football just get the result because that's what matters right now. There will be time to build some kind of style, but for now we need just points. We just need points, to be honest, because the championship race is on. We thought we were out, but it's still on, and it's pretty much looking good with next three fixtures and well, the form of our opponents, right? So I think we'll get to that later. So anything to add about Kribas, or are we moving to Ruch?
Well, I mean, we can use this as a transition to Ruch. Just want to touch on the shutouts real quick. So back-to-back shutouts against Ruch and Kribas, the first shutout for Dynamo since September 18th. So that's over probably, what, 5 weeks? And it's the first time, I think, this season we've done back-to-back clean sheets in a game.
Wow.
the last time we did back-to-back clean sheets was in the sparring against Aris Limassol and Al Hilal.
Yeah, the last time massive Saudi side, which we beat in 1-0. Yeah,
absolutely,
I remember that.
Absolutely pummeled them.
Yeah, and they had like Koulibaly and Chetnik in the squad and Ruben Neves. Yeah, that was good.
Yeah, but on Ruch, I thought, again, This was actually, although Kribas is better, when I saw the lineups for the Ruch game, I got a lot more concerned because Ruch have actually looked quite good at times this year. And for those who don't remember, this was the Dynamo starting 11. Buscan in goal. Back four was okay, to be fair. Timchik, Diachuk, Sirota, Dubinchak. This is where things start to get a little dodgy. Shepelyev played next to Brashko, which not, you know, sorry for Vova Brashko there. Karvaev and Kabaev on the wings, Bujalski through the middle, and Benito up top. If you would see that lineup and your confidence would drop, come on, I don't think I could blame someone for his confidence not being too high on a game like that.
Well, yeah, I remember the Dimas reaction when he saw the lineup. It wasn't very positive, but barely anything is this season. I was surprised because it looked like peak Luchescu lineup. So... Yeah, I could explain it with some squad problems with injuries and suspensions and so on, because Van Aert wasn't fit to play 90, so that would explain Benito. Well, the bottom line is it worked, right?
It did, yeah. But like my only thing is like, so you get goals from Timchik and Kabaev, Shepelyev starts, right? Like, would you not rather, at least from my perspective, go play Tsarenko, go like a bit more attacking, right? Go put Tsarenko next to Bujalski, two attacking midfielders. Give Ramadani a chance. Like, excuse me, like what is Shevkovsky going to get out of Volodymyr Shepelyev, or also known as just Volodymyr? What is he going to get out of him that we've never seen before?
I think he had a good game, to be honest.
I'm not saying he had a bad game, but if I were to ask anyone, realistic question, do you see Shepelyev as a building block to build the club forward again?
No, honestly, I
say no, right? So I'm saying, listen, I would rather give someone like Tsarenko, say, listen, go to play 1-6, maybe 2, kind of 8.5s to 10s, go attacking, be on the front for with Tsarenko and Bujalski, or even just, you know what, let's give Ramadani 60, 70 minutes to see if he can actually play. Because as of right now, he just looks like another Tudor Bielutsa.
Yeah, but I think that would work against Oboloń or Metalist 1925 because against Ruch, you pretty much have to, with today's Dynamo, you have to play anti-football, like the Mourinho-style football. Because
I
don't know if you've seen that.
To say. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, unfortunately, but as Viktor Vatsko said, like Dynamo football is simple football because like I think that... Sasho is sort of looking into Lobanovsky's concepts, Lobanovsky's notebooks in that regard, because, well, he's not playing possession football, he's just using the other team weakness. I know if you watch that, but after Dynamo had like two good goal scoring opportunities in this game, and they took care of both of them, so they scored 2 times. And the rest of the game was pretty dull because we didn't let Ruch play their possession and passing attacking football. So I believe this Lumberjack squad was ideally picked for that purpose. Well,
but
so
you know,
yeah.
But you know, though, I don't mind if you're up 2-0 being a little bit more like pragmatic and making the game dull. Because at that point, as long as the other team's not really getting themselves into the game and you're doing a good enough job at stopping, you've pretty much, that's job done at that point. You know what I mean? So I listen, if Dinamo are up 2-0 at halftime and the second half is a dull, boring affair, listen, you said it earlier, the best is that we're at a stage now where we just need to pick up points, you know. We're in the title race. We're still a heck of a lot away. There's, but you know, points to go. But I, like I said, I don't mind being smart about it, not just always having, oh, we'll just try this possession football, you know, that we've seen sometimes in the past, and it doesn't really always work. You know, think, looking at that 2-0 loss in Lulets in the first game of the winter break last year, after the winter break last year.
Don't remind me that. Oh my God.
Yeah. Or, so that's just my thing, is I think you need to be realistic, because I think there was a time in the UPL maybe 3 or 4 years ago where you kind of go out and play any way you wanted and you'd probably still win 3 or 4-0 against most teams in the league. Now, I think, to be fair, even though the war is going on, a lot of the teams in the UPL are actually getting better.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
that is a tough thing and something that you actually really wouldn't expect, but it's just a situation we find ourselves in.
Well, before we do a transition to the next game we're going to play, which is on Sunday, I think it's midday kickoff. We'll get to that shortly. I need to do a honorable mention, because a central left winger named Władysław Kabaev scored his debut official goal for Dynamo in his 36th game for the club. I appreciate your enthusiasm, Alex.
Thank you. So someone's got to do it. Let me have my mic on so they can hear my clapping. Unbelievable, man. Meanwhile, poor Serhii Buletsas in freaking Zagłębie Lubin and do it playing against a bunch of Polish bums.
Yeah, exactly. So as I said in the chat, Luchescu was only holding him back.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
He will show now that he's clear of certain Chelsea bum dates Russians.
Could you imagine this? I'm sorry, I have to say this, because this is absolutely absurd what I'm going to say. But could you imagine Władysław Kabaev goes on a wild scoring streak and somehow gets himself into the roster for the Euro qualifier? I'm not saying starts, obviously, over Mudryk. That's not what I'm saying. But just the fact that he would get called up to the Euro squad for the playoffs against Bosnia and Herzegovina.
Yeah,
I don't
that
know
would be
if
wild.
I don't know if I could stand to, if he gets something, I think I might have to shut the TV off. or if I'm at the ground, I leave the stadium.
Yeah, fortunately, we have Rusin and Kocherhin on that position too. Not talking about Zubkov, so he'll be like pretty far in the Rebrov's consideration.
Yeah, Rusin is clear of him anyway, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Okay, so talking about Rusins, let's talk about Zakarpattia. And because we are going there on Sunday to play the best team in the league, if you turn it upside down.
Yeah, to Ushurov, the center, also known as the center of the universe.
Exactly, yeah. So it's FK Menai shot down in the Menai swimming pool in the Menai village. At least it was for the last couple of games. And we got the squad news, right? A while before we started records. So we have Buszczan, Neszczeret, Morhun in goal. Defenders, we have Dubinczak, Malysz, Tymczyk, Diaczuk, Sirota, Bilovar, Wivczarenko. Midfielders, we have Carenko, Ramadani, Karavajev, Bujarski, Andrijevski, Szaparenko, Kabaev, Braszko, Benito. And strikers, we've got Vanat and Supriao. So, I don't see really any notable omissions except Popov and maybe Ponomarenko, right?
Yeah. I mean, those are not, but Listen, I know we have some friends who are a friend of the pod who's a big Minai supporter, but I don't think in a game like this, missing Ponomarenko and missing Popov is honestly I don't see that as a big loss. Like, I don't mean to be disrespectful, but this is a game we should walk into Minai or Ushurov, wherever the game is going to be played, win 4-5-0, grab some kafala, and back on the train to Kiev. That should be the game plan.
That's the gaming plan, I think. Yeah, for me, it's comfortable 3 or 4-0, maybe with some dodgy pen for Minai because they don't get those, so they might as well got one against us.
I can see it now. Some stupid shit Dziatchuk is gonna do, probably.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, because we're probably gonna play Dziatchuk Sirota, right?
Yeah,
because no one in his right mind would put Bilovar in the starting lineup. At least I wouldn't.
Isn't he from Zakarpattia as well, or something like
that?
Yeah,
I think. Yeah.
Oh, what's that food? Hold on, no. What's that like dish from Zakarpattia? Oh my gosh, this is gonna
the goulash one, right?
Yeah, banos? But it has. I think it has.
Yeah, banos. Is it like the brinza one?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Hold on. Sorry, I have top 10. Zakarpattian dishes right now, so give me one moment, I'll find it. they have a lecture.
Okay, so while you're doing this, score prediction?
I would really honestly like to say 4-5-0. I think I'm going to go realistic here, and I think it's going to be a really, really comfortable 3-1 win.
Yeah, for me it's 3-0, 4-0. /3-1, 4-1. Yeah, as I said, yeah. About this, like, dodgy pen.
I think it'll be something dodgy or something like really like silly that we give away.
Yeah, exactly. So, do you have that?
So I don't know the dishes, but I can tell you it's like goulash with like a tomato or like some kind of broth, and it has kapusta in it. I remember it was really good, and there was knedle with it.
Nice. Some Czechoslovak influence, right?
And fun fact, I had a glass of kafala with it, and this is where the fun fact comes in. That glass I had the Veres Rivna badge on it.
Ooh.
Yeah. And you know what? I forgot to steal the glass.
Ah, that's a shame. Yeah, well, so after our Ukrainian food segments, we are moving into, well, what do we have? We have like some less important news, and maybe we can do some broader discussion about those two games that we had before. We've got some information that Dynamo is interested in Ruch Lviv's center backs, Lubek. I forgot the name, but I think we discussed it before.
Yes.
And today there was information that he's scouted by Lazio and some Bundesliga clubs. So I think
brilliant. That's the deal. Yeah, brilliant. At this point, I just prefer not to speak.
If I speak, I'll be in big trouble.
You know what though, like, to be fair, Ruch do have some decent center backs. Like, you know who I like? I like that guy Roman Didik. Or I know he's a defensive midfielder, but like Marcos Sapuha. Like, there are definitely some good players you can get from there.
It's football manager snack, right?
Mm-hmm. Or what's that guy's name? He was in Belgium on loan last year, or the Netherlands. Oh my gosh.
The right back, right?
Sitch. Alexis Sitch, yeah. Yeah. He's another one I would have, you know, he's young, 22, I think 21. He's another one I would have no problem inquiring about getting, because I think he's a good player as well.
Yeah.
So there's a good amount of talent I would go for there.
Yeah, but I'm curious about Malish, because we barely saw anything of him. So
that's true.
Yeah, maybe he's decent. I'm not sure. Andrei would know.
I mean, at the same time, though, I have no problem with having two very good right backs.
Yeah, but because right now we have Tinchik and Karavayev, right?
So well,
in no way. Optimal.
I mean, I don't know if I call them good. I mean, actually, to be fair, they're in goal scoring form at the minute. Karabayev somehow scoring a worldie against North Macedonia will forever boggle the mind.
Yeah, it's made into like those 4-3-3 Instagram accounts and so on, right?
Yes, it
sort
did.
Of like scoring goal.
Oh my God, Ilya! If you didn't see this, go on YouTube, find Stal Mielec Pogon Szczecin highlights, and just see the absolute world. These some Latvian players on a beautiful back heel, 100%. He did not mean it, and just falls to Ilya Shkurin, and Ilya Shkurin meant his finish. He meant that.
Yeah, remind me how many goals did he score for Dynamo? Because I'm thinking nil.
I think he had like 6 goal contributions. I think
oh.
that's a better way to, yeah, I think that's like, didn't he have like 2 or 3 assists in one game? Like they just lumped it. He knocked him down with his head and then they would finish.
Yeah, that's Belarusian Beshedin for you. Yeah, but the funny thing about Stal Mielec, because it's like kind of a joke between Polish clubs, but now they are sitting comfortably in the mid-table and
yeah,
their management is much better than they were last time in Ekstraklasa, so...
You know what? I'm not the big... Actually, 2 things on Stal Mielec. One, if their management is better than most of the Ekstraklasa, I'm sorry, but I don't think that's the biggest bragging point in world history. And second, I'm not the biggest fan of Stal because I'm pretty sure their stadium wouldn't pass the piss test.
Yeah, do they have the running track? I didn't pay attention.
I'm very confident the stadium in Mielec has a running track. I will check right now.
Okay, so Ekstraklasa segment is over. Let's move on to this is funny because there was like I think the second episode of Dynamo. I didn't watch it, but Shahov talked to Diaczuk and Andrievski about abuse they get when they're going through the streets of Kyiv, and Diaczuk said that there was like a really aggressive guy that was like yelling slurs at Diaczuk. I wouldn't say rightly so, but he had some grounds to do that. But well, it was just really funny for me. For a minute, I thought that Dima is in Kyiv, but he's not apparently. So it couldn't have been him. Well, abusing players on the streets is not like a very cultural way to do stuff. But I won't say that they don't deserve it, to be honest. The way they played the first half of the season and the whole last season, they took like half of it, but still.
Sorry, hold on. I got this. No, sorry, I got disconnected for a sec. No, but I just real quick. If I don't understand the point of abusing players on the street, like at the end of the day, those guys who you're abusing on the street are 1,000 times better than that person will ever be as a professional footballer. And second, I get it if it's a player like let's say Yarmolenko is in really bad form. Like I'm not a condoni, but I would understand if it's a player who's traditionally very good and he's really not playing well at that time. The thing is, what I don't understand is you cannot tell me you watch, like, for example, Diaczuk play, and you can't tell me you don't see some kind of limitations in his game, right?
Yeah.
So you could see he's clearly limited in the way he's trying to play. So I don't understand why you would even bother with that in the first place.
Well, maybe someone just wants to let out the frustration or something. I wouldn't, like, really pay attention to that, but I just found it funny because... Dima is our general hater of Diaczuk, so
as Dima would say, people who abuse players on the street are as useful as a chocolate teapot.
Oh yes. Mm-hmm. I asked him about the one-liners we can use during the recording. That's one of them. Yeah, so like the quick one. I think we talked about it a couple of times, but as we are closer to the January sort of window, what do we expect of this time? Do we have any loan recalls or do we loan someone out, or do we buy someone, which I don't believe in, but still, what are your predictions?
So my predictions is we're not going to buy anyone. There's me being the optimist. I'm just checking who's exactly loaned out right now, because honestly, like, and I know Eric has said something like this. I'm generally a firm believer in the academy system. Like, I really don't believe in buying someone until it's clearly proven you have no one else that can fill that position from within the club, right? So
especially
I
in
have
that
no
situation we're in, right?
Especially now, but that even goes for like all the times in the past when, you know, for example, when like we were spending on Lens and stuff like that. Like, I have no problem giving a, I will never have an issue giving with academy kids a chance. So I just want to, I just like, for example, Brashko is a great example of someone who academy kid, honestly, in normal circumstances would or other circumstances would not be playing, you know, but he kind of almost forced his way to play, right? So just look at who's on loan. Definitely Anton Bol needs to come back. That goes without doubt.
That's a bunker.
And that I've heard some people talk about Horbach coming back or maybe getting a loan to a different club. I'm kind of indifferent on that one. The ones I do want back 100% though is because I just think that there are upgrades on Shepeliev and Andreevsky, and I think they're just better backup for Shaparenko when he's fit, are Vikenty Voloshin and Oleksandr Jacek. Those are the two
more
that
more think about the second one, because Voloshin didn't really impress, but Jacek looks like a pretty good and accomplished player already. So
yeah, I like Jacek. The only thing is, I think Voloshin never got the chance he should have, maybe about a season or two ago. And maybe also that's because maybe the war started. That's also why he may not have gotten a chance 2 years ago. But I think he needs to get a fair, I think it's only right if he gets a fair shake, at least in the winter training camp games. Because my thing is, if you thought he was good enough to play for the U19s and U21s, I think he was on the bench once or twice, and you thought he was good enough to be loaned to Zorya, surely there has to be something in there you saw that you felt he was good enough to play for the first team. So I don't see why you can't maybe bring him to a winter training camp, give him a couple games or a couple, you know, not full games, like 45 minutes, see how does he play with players like Shaparenko, Tsarenko, Brashko, because if you don't know, then if you never try, you're never going to know, are you? So that would just be my thing.
What do you think about recalling Buleca?
Oh,
because
100%.
I would, really.
Absolutely, absolutely. I listen, I would, just because I think he's better than Kabayev, Karavayev. You know, I don't know what's exactly going on with Benito in this case, but I think overall he's better. You know, the one that's interesting though, I was just looking at this. There's a sorry, I'm just looking at the fact that Kahim Paris is involved with the club.
Yeah, in Sabah, right?
In Azerbaijan. How are they doing this year? Oh, they finished second in the Azeri League last year.
Nice.
Let's see. And this year they're in 7th out of 10th. Brilliant. No, but those definitely Jacek, just to give some, to improve the overall quality in the midfield. Definitely Bol, because I think Bol would do a good chance at improve the at the back. And I would like to see Vikenty Voloshin get a fair chance.
Yeah, so these are the notable loans we have at the moment, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, I was just thinking, if we is it really possible? Could you bring your player that you loaned to some other club for Wintersbury, and then give him back for the same loan he was on before? I don't think it's possible. So if you recall him for Sbori, he just leaves. He just stays in the squad unless you loan him a second time to the same club or a different club.
Well, that's what I was going to think. What you could do is you could bring him back from loan, and I don't know when the UPL transfer window closes in the winter, but let's just say it closes February 1st. You can, if you see him for 2 or 3 weeks, then you can loan him back out. You know what I mean?
Yeah, the question is if the club agrees. I don't think Zagłębie Lubin would agree to that.
Yeah, I don't think Zagłębie would, but I think it's a little more likely you're dealing with clubs like Oleksandria or Zorya. They would agree. You could probably get them to agree to something like that.
Yeah, they are like, we all know how it works with Ukrainian clubs. So with a certain amount of persuasion, this would be possible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That I'm, you know, I was gonna make a comment, but I'm just gonna not.
Yeah, we talk about it all the time, right? So yeah, I think it's the last item on the agenda. So until the end of the year, we have three games to go. So if I'm not mistaken, we have Menai away, Metal East, Crypto Metal East. Yeah, that's a good name. I'm gonna call them. So Crypto Metal East, it's home, I think. Not that it matters right now. And then it's Zoria, right?
You know what, though, I will say before we get, I did see friend of the podcast, Zoria London's tweeting something about fans possibly coming back into the stadium for the new year.
Yeah, that too.
So that would be a nice thing to see, hopefully soon. So hopefully
in March,
a couple months, hopefully once the league get back going in a couple months time, we'll be talking about that, you know, home away games mattering again.
But I'm curious how they you know, resolve the issue of bomb shelters and so on.
Yeah, that's the big one.
Okay, I was mistaken. It wasn't Zoria. It was because we still have like unplayed game against Zoria, so that's why I was mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
So we have Kyiv Derby on 11th of December, and I think this will be the hardest of those three games.
Because to be fair, Oblon do have a bit of a history of beating Dinamo at home, don't they?
Even this season, right?
I'm thinking back to this season.
Yeah, but were away, like in Oblon, so it's not that far. But still,
well,
they were away.
I'm having a little throwback here too. What I want to say was maybe, 2010-11 season. We lost like 2-0 at home to Oblon. Maybe 2009-10.
Yeah, I think it's 10? Like their most proud result in history.
Yeah, who was the coach at Dinamo at that time?
11?
Was it Gazaev? Oh my god!
I think so. Yeah.
That you know what? That's another person.
Because Borkin joined after the Euros, right?
Yeah. No. In that fall, because Siomin was there during the Euros.
Oh, okay. So maybe that would be late Siomin.
I have many opinions on friggin' Gazaya, but I'm gonna keep them to myself.
Yeah, but both of them are Vatas, because it's not that surprising, right? Because
they're solid people. And you know what, though, the only thing I will say in Siomen's defense, at least he didn't suggest that nonsense of a combined league that Gazaya was ahead of.
Yeah, I can't believe that there were some people that were suggesting it in Ukraine. So there we go. We all know which club was endorsing it, so.
I prefer not to speak.
If I speak, I'll be in big trouble. Respect. Respect.
Three times.
Oh
gosh.
Yeah, talking about three times, I want to just brag. I won a domestic double with NK Domžale in Football Manager, so I just wanted to put it out there. But it was right after I got promoted, so it's even better, even sweeter.
And even better in I'm playing with Real Sociedad and I lost in the Champions League 5-0 to RB Salzburg. At home, that's not great.
That sucks. Yeah. No. Okay, so the last segment, I think. Yeah. So surely we're getting 9 points of this, right?
Yes.
Are we confident? I don't hear.
No.
I don't hear the confidence.
Okay. I think we beat Menai. I think we struggled to beat Obolon. And I think we have like a dull win over Metal East. We're like, we'll score, probably win like 2-0. Nothing's really going to happen. We'll get two good chances, finish them. Obolon will probably win 1-0, 2-1. Stressful game. And I think we'll fly past Menai.
Yeah, I think if we continue the trend of playing the game one at a time, understanding and reading the opponent, we should get 9 points. If we play like we played against Krivbas and Druh, so that shouldn't be a problem. And the situation table would be very interesting, considering it's possible that the rest of title contenders probably should drop points. I think Polisia did today, right?
They did against Vélez, 1-1.
It was Vélez, go Vélez, and I think that would be all for today. So we're gonna be watching on Sunday. I believe it's 6 a.m. your time, so I don't know if you will be.
Am I gonna be up at that time? I can find a reason to be up at that time.
Yeah, you're going to Cerkva later.
We'll try.
Sure, of course. Yeah, so we're playing Minai away on Sunday, and that's it for today. Alex, if someone would want to contact you, how can they do it?
Yeah, so you can find me on Twitter at Betyarzadunai. I'm not going to spell it. If you see the tweet, you'll find it. I trust you guys. Also, make sure you have your kofola ready for Sunday morning. Best drink in the world. Komar, back to you.
Well, if you want to contact me as a first-time host of Dynamo Abroad, it's DartSandwich96 on X. I am on Blue Sky Social also. I think it's like a little bit different, but I don't really remember how I'm called there. And you can contact the podcast on Twitter or X at Dynamo Abroad. DMs are open. And if you want to send us an email for some reason, you just go to dynamoabroad@gmail.com, right? Did I get that right? Okay.
100% spot on.
Great, great. It's like a lot of listening to you, right? and the other guys. Well, so thank you very much for listening, and we'll see you next time.